This is Arsene Wenger. Welcome to FIFA Training Center.
You're listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Training Center podcast. Throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar, we are taking you inside the game like never before. This fly-on-the-wall audio experience is putting you inside the car with our team of experts as they travel to all 64 matches at the FIFA World Cup. The final whistle is blown in the game between Portugal and Uruguay. You're now entering the minds of some of the world's finest football brains.
Hello and welcome everyone to our debrief of tonight's final game between Portugal and Uruguay. My name is Arnie Beres. I'm joined by Farid Mondragon, our goalkeeper expert, Duri Chow, our technical expert, and Harry Lowe and Chris Loxton from FIFA. Duri, what are your thoughts on the game?
I think it was not the most spectacular match to watch in. In the beginning, Uruguay played very hard in the duel, many fouls, a lot of breaks, not a real game rhythm from both teams. I think it was not a good match, especially in the first half, until the Portugal scored the first goal. But after the first goal in the second half from Portugal, both teams, especially Uruguay, play with more risk. They have to get a point minimum. They know the situation after the Ghana-Korean game. So after the first goal was a bit more action in the game, more individual quality situations for the players. And at the end of the game, 2-0 for Portugal, deserved win, and they qualifying for the next round. But it was not the best game.
Yeah, and when we say it wasn't the best game, what we most often mean is that the team struggled to create chances, that they didn't get in behind. Harry, I suppose the data reflects that.
Yeah, we were discussing earlier when looking at the defensive line breaks we had from minute 30 through to minute 75, neither team registered a defensive line break. So, yeah, it goes to show how they were unable to maybe penetrate that final line. They had Portugal themselves actually had a lot of receptions between the lines, in particular the midfielders of, you know, Ronaldo, Bernardo Silva and Bruno Fernandes were the top three for receptions between the midfield and the defensive line. So maybe an indication of their playing style. But as you mentioned, that's quite a large chunk of the game where they didn't register a defensive line break at all.
But I think also that's been a typical trend of the tournament so far, is the first goal has massively opened up the games. I think teams have come in a very defensive structure. Farid, we were speaking before the game, Uruguay typically set up quite defensively. But I think that first goal in many, many matches so far has triggered, I suppose, more attacking football. And obviously going into the third round of matches now, teams are going to need results. So hopefully we'll start to see that coming a little bit sooner in the games.
And Duri, what changes after goals being scored, or what changes when a team must win? What do they do differently?
They play with more risk, they play more forward, they bring more players in the final third and open more the defensive line, maybe the fullbacks going more forward and help the wingers try to overload the flank, the midfielders going forward and the cross situation, they go into the box. So that's the way how they try to create the chances and play with more risk.
Yes, and a slightly different topic, but maybe related. If we look at the two lineups, Uruguay played in a 5-3-2, really only with their wingbacks, so relying on them to push forward to create width and depth. And Portugal played in a 4-3-3, but Bruno Fernandes and João Félix really played inside, so they also didn't really have wide positions. How is that different, maybe, or do you feel that had an impact on the game in the way that they weren't able to play forward, or they weren't able to break the lines around the defensive shape?
If we have two players wide, then you have many options. You can play overlap, underlap, you can create it more chances on the flank. If you have just one player on the flank, then if he's good in the one against one, then it's okay, but if he struggle, then the player play back and you play like handball around the 60 meter box. in the game from Ghana against Korea, you could see that how they created the chance on the flank with two wide players. Today you said that Portugal wide wingers coming in the pocket and Uruguay play with three center backs and they defending forward, so it was very difficult for these guys in the play to in the pocket and create chances. And in the wide you have then only one the fullback, and for him alone is sometimes very difficult to create the chances.
Harry, you also shared with me that the three Portuguese attackers, Bruno Fernandes, Ronaldo obviously, and João Felix, were also the ones that received the balls most often in between the lines, right?
Yeah, exactly. So they registered the highest for the receptions in that area. On our team shape metric as well, it also shows them in possession very close together in that final attacking line, almost on top of each other in a sense. So clustered very close together. And to just to touch on the Uruguay shape as well, that 5-3-2, the wing back, so the registered right wing back of Varela in that game is actually very close to his centre backs. So virtually in line of the defensive line, so showing that not being as adventurous going forward or not as high in the midfield or even the attacking line as we've seen in other teams in similar systems. So yeah, maybe linked to this theme of not being as brave or going for the win.
Great, thank you, Harry. And let's move on to the goalkeepers. Farid, what are your thoughts on them?
Well, I think Diogo Costa, not only but for the performance of this night, but what he has been showing in the first game and during the qualification and the Nations League Cup, he's in a fantastic form. Today he was decisive, he was influent in a 1v1 against Betancourt. This action could have changed the whole structure of the game. And he stood up, he spread his body similar to a handball goalkeeper, and he was very accurate at this time and kept the clean sheet for Portugal. In the second half, I think the Uruguayan goalkeeper, Sergio Rochet, didn't have anything to do with any of the goals. The first goal, I think it's a very good ball delivered by Bruno Fernandes, and in a low height, difficult for a goalkeeper to go outside. Penalty kick just was wonderful, taken by Bruno Fernandes again. So from the Uruguay side, he saved on the last minute a ball with his feet, but nothing to do. And from the Portugal side, Diogo Costa, I think he's showing he's accurate with his feet, he's elastic. He made in the second half another very, very good save. He goes out, takes crosses, he's communicating, his body language is good, he's offering for a back pass, delivering very, very good. So I think this is one of the goalkeepers that we must keep focus. Very, very tight.
Thank you all. Fantastic insights once again. We are now on our way back to the hotel and are looking forward to get some rest for tomorrow and another round of World Cup football. Bye-bye.
Adios.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Highway 61 production for FIFA Training Center. For more information and insights throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup, visit fifatrainingcenter.com.